Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Color Your Life Happy for Monday, December 6, 2010. I'm your host, Flora Brown, coming to you live from Anaheim, California. Our show today will inform, inspire, and encourage you. In a moment, we will begin today's episode, Humor in Adversity, or Cancer Made Me Do What? With my guest, Regina Savage, cancer survivor, author, and motivational speaker. But first, I'd like to welcome all of you, my listeners. I'm so honored that you made space in your schedule to join us today because I realize you have many other things to do with your time. Now, if you're listening live, I encourage you to participate, and you can do that by on the phone lines pressing pound one, or if you're in the chat room, you could type in a question or a comment, and I'll be able to see them there and read them on the air. Now, many of you are listening to the recorded version of the show. I want to welcome you and thank you as well. Now, regardless of how you access the show, if you enjoy it, please don't keep it a secret. Tell other people about it and get them over here to my show page, blogtalkradio.com/Flora Brown, where you can actually hear any of the episodes that have ever been aired in the last year and a half of the show. I also encourage you to follow me on Twitter or on Facebook, and when you're on my Facebook page, click the like button, okay? Now, on the show page, you could add yourself as a friend of the show. That would be much, much, much appreciated. Now, I don't have to tell you that we are officially in the 2010 holiday season. I'm sure you can see it everywhere you go. And as you probably also know, not everyone looks forward to the holidays with glee. Some people secretly dread the nonstop music that's piped through the mall, the extra demand on their time spent shopping and cooking, the social expectations, the strain on their budget, and the clashing of personalities and unresolved hurts that take place at what we call the family holiday dinner. Now, for those of you who are without a mate or any remaining relatives, your holidays can be even lonely. So just the opposite of people who have too much family, sometimes we have too little remaining. If this is you or someone you know, and you're seeking relief, calm, and peace of mind during the holidays, my colleague and I, Monique Hom, have created a one-hour teleclass just for you. It's called How to Make Your Holiday Merry, Not Scary, Stress-Reducing, Sanity-Saving Tips That Work Year-Round. And our teleclass is tomorrow night, Tuesday, December 7th at 5:30 Pacific Standard Time. You just need to call in to access the class. So as soon as you register, you will get the call-in number. We are going to share some terrific tips and strategies that have worked for us and for other people. Now, to sign up for the teleclass, you just go to my website, coloryourlifehappy.com/holiday. That'll take you directly to the sign-up page. Now, suppose tomorrow night is not a good time for you. Maybe you have something already planned. No problem. Register anyway, because we are going to send a recording of the class afterwards to everyone who registered. So this way you get to still participate or to benefit from the teleclass, even if you aren't there live. To get the details again, visit my website, coloryourlifehappy.com/holiday. We look forward to helping you make your holiday the wonderful occasion that it can be. And that's tomorrow night, December 7th, 5:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, or sign up and get the recording later. You'll be glad you did. Now, on this radio show, Color Your Life Happy, we talk about ways to create the lasting happiness you deserve in all areas of your life. Each week, I interview guests from fields such as self-help, spiritual journeys, relationships, change in adversity, parenting, wealth creation, career, all those things that contribute to our lasting happiness. Today's episode is Humor in Adversity, or Cancer Made Me Do What? And my guest is Regina Savage. Now, after battling cancer and winning, Regina Savage is celebrating her 11th year as a breast cancer survivor. That is just wonderful, and I'm excited to be able to say that. Regina is on the committee for the Susan G. Komen Race for the Cure in Newport Beach, and is also a board member of the Newport Aquatic Center, where she started the first all-cancer survivor dragon boat team. The team consists of members with all types of cancer that paddle together in the fresh air, supporting each other through exercise. Regina has led the team to many race venues, including races in Canada, Taiwan, China, and several places throughout California, Nevada, and Arizona. The experience has been an amazing one, as you can imagine. She would suggest that anyone who wants to get involved, who loves the support of fellow survivors, do so. If you love the outdoors and the water, travel, and exercise, get involved in this. It's been an experience that Regina says she will never forget and will always be grateful for. She is also currently the Director of Program Development for the Hope Wellness Center, a nonprofit in Costa Mesa helping patients, survivors, and families deal with cancer. Regina's spirit and determination led her to write a book with the hope of encouraging others struggling with the disease. After her diagnosis unfolded, she began to draw on her unique sense of humor and determination to get through the effects of treatment. She then began to realize that her unusual approach might be helpful to other everyday gals, as she calls them, also struggling to survive cancer and to survive their emotions and baldness. Regina's book has had several wonderful reviews, including her latest in Cure Magazine Summer Issue 2010. The title of her book is Mirror Makeovers and Savvy Insights for the Everyday Gal Surviving Cancer and Baldness with a Sense of Humor. Regina is supported by a wonderful family and friends and is excited to do what she thinks is the best things, one of the best things you can do in life, and that is giving back. It is my pleasure to welcome to the show today Regina Savage. Hi, Regina.
Hi, Fora. How are you doing today?
I am doing great, and thank you so much for coming on. I remember meeting you back in a couple of months ago, August, I think, and as soon as I met you, I thought, ooh, I'd love to have you on my show, and here we are.
Well, thank you so much. It's such an honor to be here with you today.
Thank you so much. Let's jump right into talking about your book, because as soon as I saw your book and heard you speak, I knew it was unique. So who is this book written for? I know we think we may know, but I'd like for you to tell us.
Well, Flora, I wrote the book for gals going through this disease who may be having a hard time dealing with their emotions or need a little humor to get through the day. I wanted them to realize that even though cancer really is not funny, it's okay to laugh during this journey. And for friends and loved ones who might not know what to say or how to help, this is the perfect gift from a fellow survivor that found a little humor on this journey, and it might be just what they needed.
Now, why about baldness and losing your hair? Because there are other aspects to cancer, but why did you choose that particular aspect?
Well, the reason I chose this aspect is because it's not so much losing your hair. You know, you're the same beautiful person you've always been. But for me, it was not being able to hide from the disease, you know, just to take a break from it. Because when you're bald, everyone pretty much knows what you're going through. And so by drawing hair on the mirror, when I looked at myself and saw hair surrounding my face, it helped me to deal with my my emotions and to laugh and to take a break from the disease.
Yeah, you tell us what you did, because I don't know that the listeners who haven't heard of your book before realize your story of how you drew hair on your mirror. Can you tell that story again?
Yeah, I sure can. When I was going through the disease, I just had a hard time, you know, not being able to recognize myself bald and you know, like I said, not being able to hide from the disease. So when I was home, I used to paint my hair on the mirror, so when I looked in the mirror, I would have hair surrounding my face. So when I I took this one step further because it's really hard to deal with your emotions at this time, so I decided to draw the hair for whatever emotion I was having that day, whether it be good or bad or funny, you know, and then when I looked in the mirror, it would make me deal with that emotion because I was dealing with the emotion as I drew the hair on the mirror, and as I passed the mirror throughout the day, it would make me laugh. And so that's what the book's about. And the book comes equipped with markers so you could get started right away on drawing your hair on the mirror.
I thought that was so amusing. Now, you did experiment with wearing wigs, as most people probably do. And I remember you saying something about your experience with wigs and how you knew that wasn't for you.
Yeah.
Scarves and all that. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, I had my experience with wearing wigs as I did a fashion show for a charity. And this charity would have you come out bald and with no makeup and in your robe, and then they would take you back and dress you up and put on makeup and put a wig on. And because they went around to hospitals and did a program to help women with wigs and what to wear on their head while they're bald and how to deal with no eyelashes and eyebrows with makeup. And so I had gotten a wig and went and tried it on, and I just wasn't too convinced with the wig because I hadn't worn one yet. And at that time, I had to go to the hospital to get to the wig from this charity, and I had a friend in the hospital. And I had decided I would go to the hospital, go see my friend with my new wig, get her opinion. And I was going through some pretty serious chemo at that time that would make me fall. You know, I would just kind of, my bones were, and my joints would give out, and I would kind of fall. I'd have no, you know, it wasn't planned. It would just happen. And as I was walking through the lobby of the hospital, I fell. And, of course, everything went fine, including my wig. So as people came to help me get up, you know, and you know, make sure I was okay, there was one gentleman that walked over with the wig, with kind of a deer in the headlights look, and he was holding the wig by the little strands, kind of like you might hold a dirty diaper, and kind of shyly walked up to me and asked if this was mine. And, of course, I looked around my new little support group that was helping me up and said, no, that's not mine. And I looked around and said, did anyone else here lose their hair? And then I rubbed my head and said, oh, my gosh, it is mine. So after that event with wearing the wig, I decided they just weren't for me. I was going to put some on my head that was a little more permanent.
That's a funny story, and it's certainly one that, of course, like you say, cancer is not funny at all, but we certainly have to take a different look at it in order to be able to get through it and deal with it the way you did. Now, is your book only for women who are bald or who have lost their hair?
No, really, the book is for anyone. You know, this particular book suits women. But it's really for anyone going through the disease. It's whether you have hair or not. It's just inspirational. It's funny. It makes you laugh. You know, it makes you think about things and your emotions and how to deal with them. And it really fits anyone. I've even had the book given to other people. A group that had MS, and the book just really liked that group. Just really liked the book as well.
Wow.
So it's just inspirational. I think it just kind of helps you think about things and get through the disease. And it's really all about, you know, you're still your same person, you're still beautiful, and, you know, you just need to be positive and fight the good fight.
Did you find it difficult to share with others? Because one of the things that you mentioned just a few minutes ago was that you can't hide from cancer, and especially when you become bald, it's not a disease you can hide from, and everybody knows. Did you find it difficult to share your emotions and experiences with others?
You know, I did. I think dealing with your emotions during this journey is extremely difficult. They change from one moment to the next, as you can imagine, you know, not really giving anybody time to duck in the meantime. You know, you're up,
right.
You're down, you're sad. And I think mostly I had such wonderful support from my family that when I was with my family, I tried my best to be happy. you know, they were so worried and so concerned, and, you know, I didn't want to add to that. So I thought it was really difficult to deal with my emotions in that way. And then my process when I was home and drawing on the mirror just really helped me, you know, just kind of deal with it and realize how I really was feeling.
Mm-hmm. One of the characters you drew was a cheerleader, right?
Yes.
Now, what mood did the cheerleader go with? You know, what emotion was that one?
Well, you know, the cheerleader, and I have to say I have a wonderful artist. His name's Darren Cranford, and he just did an amazing job with all the characters in the book. But the cheerleader was, you know, I think, in my opinion, no matter what you're going through in life, you know, whether it be cancer or anything else, you have to cheer yourself on. So,
yes.
You know, you have to be your biggest cheerleader and realize that you can get through anything as long as you're cheering yourself on, standing up for yourself, and you know, just moving forward with a positive attitude. And that's what she stands for, just cheering yourself on.
Now, when you were doing the ones on your own at home, what material did you use to draw in the mirror?
Well, I used dry erase markers, and then I got really creative and I got paint. And I had different paint that I could use with different colors. And, you know, I encourage people to use this and to use anything. I had little sparkles when I was feeling good that I would put in the paint. And so really you could just get really creative. And, you know, it's kind of about just seeing yourself healthy. And if you could look in the mirror and see yourself with some funny hair that reminds you of being healthy, then, you know, that's what you do, and just get really creative.
I just think your book is fantastic. Now, you said that you immediately posted inspirational sayings around your house after your diagnosis. What were some of your favorites? And in the end, did one have more meaning than the others?
You know, one of my favorites, and this is kind of funny, but it was a bumper sticker, and I just thought it was so profound. It was a bumper sticker, and all it said was "no sniveling." And it just reminded me, you know, just those two words reminded me not to feel sorry for myself. You know, I just need to keep moving, and sniveling wasn't going to help, or whining, you know. But in the end, I think the one that had the most meaning was a quote from Eleanor Roosevelt. And the quote is, "You gain strength, courage, and confidence by each experience in which you really stop to look fear in the face. You're able to say to yourself, I have lived through this horror. I can take the next thing that comes my way."
That's beautiful.
Thank
you. So staring fear in the face is the key. And
yes.
Facing it down. And I like "no sniveling" too.
Yes.
It kind of reminds me of that saying in, forgotten the movie, A League of Her Own, where Tom Hanks says, "There's no crying in baseball," when he's leading the women's baseball team and one of the ladies crying. Yeah, it's like no sniveling, no crying in baseball. It's something you work on, you face it, and you deal with it. And I think it's just fantastic that you not only took that approach, but that you shared it with the rest of us, because regardless of what condition we may have, we all can benefit from taking your positive approach.
Yeah.
So I want to thank you for that. Now, I want to take a moment before we go on to let you tell us about the special Christmas book donation that we can get involved in for those who are ready to buy the book for themselves and others. Tell us about that, please.
Okay, yeah, this Christmas season, I wanted to do something for giving back. So I'm really excited about this, Flora. I hope I can get your listeners involved. From now until December 21st, you can go to my website and click on MM and Force Partners for Christmas donations. Now, at the bottom of the page, you can click there and it'll give you more information. But really, the most important item is to purchase a book.
Okay.
For each book purchased, and the book's just $20, $5 of that will go to a wonderful national nonprofit called Force, which is Facing Our Risk of Cancer Empowered. which deals with hereditary breast and ovarian cancer.
Okay.
And then the book purchased will be signed, gift wrap, and delivered to a hospital for a cancer patient at Christmas time.
Oh.
So it's really a wonderful program, I think, because the nonprofit benefits and also a cancer patient in the hospital going through the disease at Christmas that might need a little cheering up. And now I can tell you 11 years ago when I went through cancer, I can remember all the dates. And my last chemo date, the very last chemo I went through, was December 18th. And at that time, I would have loved to have anything cheerful, happy, especially funny, delivered to me at the hospital. So this is just kind of my way of giving back, you know.
Wow, that's wonderful. Tell us your website. What is your website?
My website is www.quietangelpublishing.com.
All right. Quiet, Q-U-I-E-T, Angel, A-N-G-E-L, Publishing, PUBLISHING.com. And then once we get there, then what do we look for to buy the Christmas donation book?
Right at the top of the screen, there's a link that you'll see that says MM, which is for Mirror Makeovers, and
okay.
Force Partners for Christmas Donations. And
okay.
Once you click on that, it'll take you right to the page where you can purchase the book. And at the bottom of the page is another link that'll give you more information about the program.
Okay. And once we get to your site, there will be a link at the top of the page for MM Force.
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Yes.
And I'm sorry, at the bottom of the page, there's also a link?
At the bottom of the page, it just tells you about a little bit more about the Christmas program and the donation, and just reminds you that $5 goes to Force, and the book will be donated to a hospital for a cancer patient. And I'm really excited today because I had an actual hospital request some of the books for Christmas, and I had just one person order 6 books this morning to be donated.
Wow!
So thank you.
That's wonderful. And this is such a great way to give because the person who participates in this doesn't even have to go and seek out who the book is going to. The organization Force will already take care of that.
Yes.
So,
mm-hmm.
And we'll gift wrap it and everything. What could be easier?
Yeah.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful.
Thank you very much.
Now, your book encourages us to turn adversity into opportunity and the good that can come from cancer. Can you share what you believe is the good that came to you from this disease?
You know, I think one of the best things that came to me was that I was taught more about myself, you know, just more about the true me. You know, I learned I could stop, sit in a corner, and get out there, get moving, and kind of like that old cliche, you know, this is not a dress rehearsal, but the real thing, you know. And I never knew, you know, the courage that people have to go through cancer and what they have to deal with every day. You know, I just never knew I had that in me. And so I learned that when I was going through the disease. Plus, I made some lifelong friends, some really beautiful souls who have traveled the same journey, you know, men and women I would have never met otherwise. And I started the paddling team, which has just really been a wonderful adventure. And you know, and I just really enjoyed it. And running a whole team and taking them to China and different places in the U.S. is not really something I would have even thought about prior to cancer.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting how something that's so horrible as cancer or any other debilitating disease can take us down a path we just never would have thought we'd go. And you can find strength and courage that you just didn't know you had until this came up. So it's not the thing we go seeking to experience to go
exactly.
through.
Mm-hmm.
But when we find ourselves there, then there's no sniveling.
Yes, exactly. No sniveling. Very true.
Now, you have a lot of recollections of the funny and the bittersweet moments during your battle, and you make them seem so vivid. So I wonder, did you keep a diary during the process?
You know, I didn't at first, but I attended a retreat for women going through cancer where a journaling class was given, and it really showed me the importance of writing in a journal. You know, just like you said, you know, everything that I have is kind of vivid, and I remember it, and kind of like drawing the images on the mirror. When you write things down in a journal, it just really helps you to deal with what you're going through, and I recommend it to anyone in any area of life, just not just cancer. I believe it truly helps.
I'm just amazed that the times that I did keep a journal in my life, I'm amazed when I read back over those things, because there is no way I would have remembered some of the details. It's like reading somebody else's life, because I don't remember those exact details that I wrote there. So writing, I mean, when we're going through it, it seems very vivid, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But if we don't write some of those things, we will forget.
Yeah, exactly.
And, that's wonderful. Can you give other families or supporters some ideas on what you thought helped during your journey with cancer and recovery? You mentioned that you found strength and courage that you didn't know you had, and you've mentioned the inspirational sayings, and of course the painting on the mirror that helped you. Are there some other things, ideas that you think can help?
Well, you know, I think that's one of the biggest keys is, you know, there's so many emotions like we discussed, and, you know, drawing on the mirror helps with the emotions. And I think that's kind of the hard part for the families and supporters, you know. Just like the family members and the loved ones, we just don't know what the heck is going on while we're going through the disease. It's confusing to us, and sometimes we just need to be whoever it is we need to be. Whether it's an inspirational person, a sad person, whether we're happy or confused, whatever it is that we're going through to deal with the disease, I think you just need to let that person be whatever they need to be that day. You know, I think sometimes people tend not to want to deal with it or ignore it, which is all well and good, but unfortunately the person who is going through it, you know, dealing with the reality and being sick and being poked and poked again, you know, they just don't have the opportunity to ignore it. So I think people just need to be there for them, you know, family members, friends, and just let them feel however it is they're going to feel. And how they're feeling could last for 5 minutes, it could last for a day, it could be gone the next day, and they'll be, you know, it's just emotions, you know. Sometimes you're angry, sometimes you're happy, sometimes you think you're going to make it through, but you need to honor how you feel, and I think the family members need to do the same.
Mm-hmm. I like the, I was looking at some of the images you drew, and I think the main message is whether people take the approach of drawing the hair or on the mirror or not, that what I hear you saying is to face what is happening to you, and to let yourself feel the emotions you're feeling at any given time, but
exactly.
To also work at pulling yourself out of that, not staying there, not staying down.
Exactly, and you know, I say that in the book too, you know, that you need to honor how you're feeling. You could be sad, angry, go out in the street, scream at the world, but realize that's not a place you want to stay. You know, you can stay there for a while, but, you know, realize that's not a place you want to stay. You know, you want to get out of it. You want to be positive. You know, you want to laugh. You know, it's been proven that laughter and endorphins, you know, improves your immune system. So why not take that route, you know? And trust me, when you're bald, there's some pretty funny things to laugh at.
Well, I like what you said in, chapter 3. You said, for starters, realize that cancer was not your choice, but the way you handle it is. If you've reached the moment where you've lost your hair, you know this is very hard. Still, I don't think it's the hair so much as it is that without hair, you cannot hide from your disease. The hard part is having a good day, feeling okay, and thinking things are looking up, only to look in the mirror and see a person you no longer recognize. And you said, this is where my wisdom comes in. And who knew I would be so wise? In the following pages are hair makeover ideas you can draw on your bathroom mirror every day or use to inspire your own ideas. Just pick out the day, the mood, really. Grab a marker and draw what you're compelled to on your mirror. There are plenty of days, good and bad moods, and fun items to cheer you up. Use any one of my ideas in this book or your own imagination to describe your mood. And I like this quote you have here. You are a strong, beautiful person, and you don't need hair.
Thank you.
One of the wigs or the hair you drew on the mirror that's really funny to me is the Medusa, where you have snakes coming out all over. So tell us about the mood you were in with Medusa.
Well, Medusa, of course, you know, she's kind of self-explanatory. You're just having a really bad day. You don't want anybody to bother you, and you just kind of have that look on your face that could turn anybody into stone. So I think the book, if you have a family, for example, it's kind of a mood meter as well, because if they go in the bathroom and see Medusa painted on the mirror, then they know it's a really good day to stay away from you.
Not to mention that the snakes are all green.
Yes.
That's a big clue. And your artist did a beautiful job on the images, by the way. This is just wonderful art.
Yes, he is really wonderful. Mm-hmm. He's done, you know, you can imagine him and getting the book, and I would tell him, you know, I'm having a really bad day, and it's Medusa, and I just want snakes coming out all over my head. And he just did the perfect job portraying it, so he did a really good job.
Yeah,
you know,
that's great.
But Medusa, you know, like you said, it's a bad day, but still it's making you realize that that's the mood you're in. So just honor it, you know,
and
go with it, and then just move on, hopefully, to the cheerleader the next day.
Yeah.
You know,
I think if you don't honor it, you are asking for it, because you stuff it, anything you stuff down and try to repress is going to pop up or pop out at some other point.
Exactly.
So when you face it, then there's no hiding it. Do you have any more books in your future?
I do. I have written two children's books that are actually mirror makeovers for children going through cancer. There's one for boys, and there's a separate one for girls. And it's kind of the same premise about using their imagination, whether they're able to get out and play or not, but using their imagination to be who they want to be and realize if they look to the future, then, you know, they can see who they want to be in the future, which hopefully will help them regain their health as well.
Wow. Now, apart from seeing your book in print for the first time, what were your other favorite parts of the process?
You know, Flora, I've had so many, but one of my favorite parts was creating a music video for cancer survivors by cancer survivors.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah, it was really a lot of fun. It's a wonderful music video that shows kind of the journey of cancer survivors helping other survivors, and it goes all the way down to helping a child with a disease. So it's just a music video. It was really fun to direct, and I had a producer, Joseph Heap from Patriot Videos, and he was also a cancer survivor. So he was just really good with the production of the video and what he thought needed to go in it too as a cancer survivor and from his aspect, you know. And I've made wonderful lifelong friends with the gals who are in the video. I had the opportunity to have one of my best friends work on it with me as well, and his name's John Gingrich, and he just did an amazing job with helping and his insight, and it just was really a lot of fun. And
That's
wonderful. It's, yeah, thank you.
Now,
it's
is this video accessible? How would we see it? Is it available somewhere?
Yes, it's also on my website on quietangelpublishing.com.
Okay.
So you can see it on my website. It's also on YouTube.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, cool. That's wonderful. I'm definitely going to go take a look at that. So making the video, it sounds like, was a tremendously important process, because not only were you involved, but the people who participated were also cancer survivors, correct?
Yes, uh-huh. The video had, the gals, and a matter of fact, the main actress in the video was going through chemo at the time the video was shot.
Wow.
And she also had hereditary breast cancer, which FORCE is the organization that I'm trying to support that would help her and others like her as well. So it just was really a lot of fun, really a lot of fun.
Now, did you use original music or did you use music that was already available for this video?
No. It was music from an artist, KT Tungstall.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the song's called Suddenly I See.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, yeah, it's really wonderful. It fits.
How long did it take to put the whole video together?
Actually, we did really well. It took us about a month, I believe. You know, I kind of already had the image in my head, and then once we started shooting, it went pretty quickly. We did a lot of shots at the hospital, and it just went really quickly after that. So I would say about 3 weeks.
Oh, okay. Now, was your book parts of your book a part of the video, or was the video talking about the bigger aspects of cancer and treatment and survival?
No, it's... The video does have the book in it, the gals. It shows a survivor who's already gone through treatment and is kind of at the end of her treatment. She goes on to help a newly diagnosed gal that is just started her treatment. And together they do mirror makeovers on the mirror and help each other that and deal with their emotions. And then the survivor who's already gone through her treatment, she kind of goes off to live her life. And the newly diagnosed cancer patient goes on to help a child with cancer. So it's all about giving back and helping each other. And the book is a part of it with the dealing with the emotions and drawing on the mirror.
That's wonderful. So the video helps to illustrate ways that people can use the book.
Yeah, exactly.
They can see very vividly. Okay. Now, what moved you the most through the process of writing the book and making the video? Because this is a project that was very personal to you and to the participants, and so it could not help but be very moving and healing for you. So can you pinpoint maybe something that moved you the most?
I think it was the help that I received from everyone. I mean, even strangers. The gals who are in the video, I didn't know any of them prior to shooting the video. And they just volunteered to be a part of it, and we've gotten to be really good friends. So I think it's just the help. Darren Cranford, who's the artist, he's just really wonderful. You know, I request his talent all the time, and he's just amazing in my family, who any harebrained idea I seem to come up with, they stand behind me 100%.
Uh-oh, here she comes with another idea. Look out.
Exactly. But, you know, and I think in the process, it's just, you know, the strength I see in other women and men dealing with the disease, just their ability to face what none of us want to face, but they get through it and they support each other and hold each other's hands in such adversity. It's just really amazing.
Yeah, this is just wonderful. Yeah, I see that it's something that's, like you said earlier, is beneficial for not just cancer survivors, but for people facing whatever seems unspeakable in their life. And I love that you're doing the ones for children, because they, too, have to face these fears that adults face. And the treatment sometimes, from what I hear from friends who've had cancer, the treatment is equally as horrible as the disease itself. Correct?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. It's one of those, the old saying where the cure is worse than the disease. You know, it's the treatment is really horrible. And that's why, you know, one of the reasons for the book was, you know, I was kind of looking for humor when I went through the treatment, and it was really hard to find. And, I think if you could find humor and be positive, and even for the children, like you said, just to look in the future and see yourself healthy, you know, it helps a lot getting through the horrible treatment.
Mm-hmm. there's just been tremendous evidence over the years of the power of laughter and the power of humor with illnesses.
Mm-hmm.
And from Norman Cousins all the way down, we've talked about the power of healing through humor. So this is more evidence to add to that. I want you to take another opportunity to tell people about getting the book and being able to participate in the Christmas book donation, because we're winding down toward the end of the show. So would you repeat again what how people can participate and the name of your website?
Okay. Yes, just go to my website, which is www.quietangel.com. Quiet Angel Publishing. Excuse me. Yeah, quietangelpublishing.com. And you can just click on MM and Forest Partners for Christmas Donations, which is at the top of the screen. And you just, the most important item is to purchase a book. And then for each book purchase, for just $20, $5 from that book will go to the national nonprofit Force, and the book will be signed, gift wrapped, and donated to a hospital for a cancer patient going through treatment.
Oh, that's wonderful. So the important thing for listeners to realize is that you don't have to do any wrapping or packaging or shipping yourself. All you need to do is go to the website. Because sometimes people don't get that part. They think, oh, I don't have time to wrap anything. Well, you're not going to have to wrap anything. All you have to do is go to www.quietangelpublishing.com, look at the top of the page, and you will see up there MM and Force Partners. Click there, go over and buy one, two, whatever number of books you want at the tune of $20. And they will take care of everything else. They will. It will be autographed and packaged, and it will be sent, and you will have made such a wonderful contribution this holiday season, so much better than some of the other kinds of gifts we spend our money on.
Exactly.
So I urge everyone to do this. We're nearing the end of today's show, Regina, and I'm so glad that you were able to come. I want to urge all of you who've been enlightened or encouraged or empowered by today's episode to share what you've learned with your family and friends. And remember, the recording of this episode will be here on my radio show page, blogtalkradio.com/Flora Brown. You can return at any time within an hour or so. It'll be there. And download it or share it through email, whatever way you want to share it. For those of you who want to listen to my show in the future, you may subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, and that way you will always get the episodes whether you're able to be on the show live or not. That's a great thing about technology. So I want to thank all of you for tuning in and invite you to join me again next Monday, December 13th, 2010, at 11 a.m. for another inspiring and exciting show. Regina, do you have any closing words before we end today's show?
No, I just wanted to say thank you so much, Flora. It was just a pleasure to meet you a month ago, and it has just been my honor to be on your show today. And I really appreciate you just getting a positive word out there about cancer and getting through it. So I just want to say thank you very much.
Well, I thank you for sharing your process, sharing your victory, and being able to be open about it so that other people can be encouraged as well. I'm your host, Flora Brown of Color Your Life Happy, the radio show designed to help you uncover the joy you deserve. I'm going to ask you to have a blessed week. Go over to my website, coloryourlifehappy.com/holiday. Sign up for my teleclass, which is tomorrow night. If you're not able to be at the teleclass, no problem. Sign up anyway. We will send you a recording after. The teleclass is called How to Make Your Holiday Merry, Not Scary, Stress Reducing, Sanity Saving Tips That Work Year-Round. Go to coloryourlifehappy.com/holiday right after the show. You'll be glad you did. Have a blessed week, and remember to color your life happy.